God delights in answering our prayers. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to deepen our relationship with God through prayer.
Friend, the only reason your prayer is going to be heightened is because of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And if we think we're going to have prayers answered because we say, God, I teach the third grade class and I've tithed for 10 years and I thank God I'm not as other men are, and I thank God that my dresses are not like her dresses and my hair length is not like his length, and based upon that, God, now you've got to answer my prayer. If you think that, you are thinking improperly.
Prayer is a beacon of hope that we can cling to in life's most difficult moments. In our series, A Life of Prayer, Pastor Chappell shows us how to make prayer genuinely meaningful and how to experience true intimacy with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. With the daily routines of life crowding our schedules, communicating with God is often neglected. Our series today is designed to help you slow down, listen to God, and to experience the benefits of spending time with Him in prayer. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Effective Prayer.
This man comes before God with this attitude of self-glorification. And I want you to think about this tonight. He was trying to relegate God to a support role in his life. He was trying to relegate God to a support role in his life. He wanted God to help him so that he could make himself look better. And a lot of times, if we're not careful in our prayer, we want God to really help us so that we can really do well. And I think about many times football players, boy, they don't pray a bit. They just carouse the bars and carouse with women. But when they're in the Super Bowl, they're going to get down on their knees and say, now, God, we really need you to help us win this game. What they're really saying is, God, we want to have this victory for ourselves, and we'd like you to support us in the role, you see. Well, God is not as interested in supporting you in your role in life as He is in being your king in this life. He is not the person that we should call to help lift us up in our selfish desires, even though they may seem it good on the surface. God is to be glorified as the King and Lord of our lives. And many times we are guilty of this approach. I said, we are guilty of this approach because we come before the Lord of heaven and we don't want God's will in our lives as much as we want His help with our will. We don't want God to have His way as much as we want to have our way, and we want God to get behind that matter. And the fact of the matter was, this man was approaching God with the wrong motivation, for his motivation was a selfish motivation. I read recently this quote, and I thought it really spoke to the issue of this particular passage. And the quote simply said, prayer may not change things, but it will change you for things. Prayer may not change things, but it will change you for things. You say, well, I'm praying that God will bring about a healing. I'm praying that God will bring about a restoration of the family. I'm praying that God will bring about this miracle. Now, God may do that, and He has all power to do that, but He may instead choose to use that prayer time to fortify your life and to purify your life from sin and to change you into the person He has called you to become. And so prayer may not change things, but it will change you for things. That's why God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, Paul, I'm not going to change your physical condition, but I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to give you more grace to be a better Christian through this time. And so we must recognize that it is vital to have the right spirit in prayer and the right motivation in prayer, and the Pharisee had neither. I heard about two men who were out golfing not long ago, and as they were golfing, One golfer, as they walked up to the green, said to the other golfer, he said, now, do you think if I would pray for this putt that I might make it, do you think it would help the putt? And his friend said to him, no. And he said, well, why not? He said, because, man, you can't putt. Now, the fact of the matter is, we want to ask God to help us when we want to look good, you know? But the truth of the matter is that God is not merely interested in making you look good or me look good, but His purpose is that His Son Jesus might look good through us. Amen? Say, well, I'm not praying then if that's what prayer's for. I thought prayer was for good Christmas presents. I thought prayer was that my ex would have 1,000 mosquitoes infest her armpits. That's what I thought prayer was for. No, the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done on earth, but rather to get God's will done in heaven and God's will done then on this earth. Now, when we look at the Pharisee, we are reminded that we may not need more of the same kinds of prayers, but we may need a new type of prayer altogether. Someone says, why are my prayers not answered? Why? How come when I pray, it doesn't go beyond the ceiling? How come when I ask God for help, it's never answered? And so I just don't pray much, and I've prayed for hours at a time, and nothing happens. Well, maybe, just maybe, we don't need more prayer time, although I certainly couldn't think of that as a possibility, but supposing that would be true, then what we definitely do need would be a different kind of prayer. A prayer that is not based on our desires, a prayer that is not based on our motivations, but a prayer that is really, truthfully, honestly based on the desire of our hearts being to glorify God. So we see how prayers are hindered, amen? Prayers are hindered by a Pharisaical, proud attitude. Notice secondly tonight, prayers heightened. Prayers heightened. Someone says, well, I can't get my prayers up above the ceiling. All right, how can we get them heightened tonight? How can prayers be heightened, and how are they to be pleasing to God? We see a second man tonight, and that man is called a publican or a tax collector. Now, isn't that something that God would use a tax collector? Here's a man that some would consider the scum of the earth, you know, the worst kind of a guy in that day. A man that just went around many times charging high percentage rates and backdoor deals, perhaps. That's the connotation of this man. But notice what it says. The publican standing, verse 13, afar off, not in the center of the court of the temple, but perhaps somewhere to the side. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, how is prayer heightened? How is prayer to be answered? First of all, through humility. Through humility. This publican stood afar off. The Pharisee stood in the middle of the court, and he spoke loudly and longly, and he said, Lord, I thank God that I'm not as other men are, filled with their sins, their wickedness, their unrighteousnesses. I'm thankful, God, that I've been able to fast 2 days every week, and I've been able to give tithes of all of my income. I'm just so thankful that I'm able to do that. But this publican standing off to the side, and you know, as it is, a lot of times, newer Christians, they're a little intimidated by those guys who can pray so loud and so long. And sometimes at first, they think the guy who can do that is so spiritual until they figure out that he's a grumbler and a complainer and really not as great as he sounds in prayer. And the new Christian can sometimes say, man, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know where this man was in his faith. But all he says is, Lord, and he does not look up to the heavens. He says, Lord, he smites his breast. Be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. Say, well, I've been saved 27 years. I've had several discipleship courses. I've led people to Christ, worked in youth camps, been on worldwide missionary journeys. I've sung in the choir. I've learned several poems about heaven. I've memorized much scripture in my life, and my wife and children are in submission to me tonight. I'm not in delinquency in my bills, and I'm thankful today that God is using me to such an extent. And you are a sinner. And I am a sinner. So you're being very, very critical to say that. You're not lifting up my ego, my self-esteem. I'm feeling low just hearing this tonight. Well, the Bible says it, friend. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now when this man says this, the context really is indicating a real sincerity of heart. I mean, he's not saying it like we say it sometime, you know. He's not making a trite confession like, Lord, forgive us for our sins where we may have failed you. May have failed you. Folks, we fail him probably every day. You know, and a lot of times we pray silly things. You know, now, Lord, forgive me for all the sins I might have committed today, and forgive especially my wife for all the ones she surely committed today. Just forgive everybody for all their sins they ever committed. You know, many times we just don't get real specific about it, do we? And sort of, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I did anything wrong today, I hope it's all taken care of. Well, you know, if you'd stop and think for maybe 5 seconds, a whole list of things would start to come to your mind. Thoughts, attitudes. Now this man, he had a heightened prayer life that pleased God because he came to God through humility. Secondly, he came through the mercy of God. Folks, I got to show you something because this just captivates me. And it's such an awesome truth we're going to see right now. It just surprises you that it's right in the middle of this parable. Now watch what he says, verse 13. Because if you don't look at first, you don't really catch it. And it says this. He says in verse 13, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now I want you to circle or take note of the word merciful. And I don't normally try to get off into some Greek definition and so forth. We thank God for our King James Bible tonight, and we thank God for the truth of it. But there is certainly nothing wrong with doing a word study on a word. Amen? Study it with your dictionary. Study it with your, if you have a Greek dictionary, if you like, whatever. This word, merciful, is the Greek word hilaskomai. It is a reference to the propitiation which took place at the mercy seat. And so when we see this word merciful, hilaskomai, it is a reference to the mercy seat, which is the place where Aaron, the high priest, sprinkled blood in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement, and which I believe is the place where Jesus Christ sprinkled blood and the mercy seat in the heavens, when that blood, according to the Word of God, is ever speaking tonight, making intercession for our sins right now. Now, Hebrews 2:17 is there in your notes. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren. You know what that is? That's Christmas. Look at it at your notes. You say, I thought Christmas was only in Luke 1 and Matthew 1. No, notice this. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. God became man, the God-man. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. The Word was made what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. All right. That's what Hebrews is all about. Now let's read the rest of this verse. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make, what's the next word? Reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ is the high priest. He came down as a man. He shed his blood upon the cross. And now his blood is covering the sins of those who have trusted in him. And he has made propitiation. He has made reconciliation for the sins of all people by the power of his blood. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Same word, hilaskomai. Same as merciful here. God hath set forth to be a propitiation through his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, prayer was heightened through the humility of this man. Prayer was heightened through the mercy of God. Now, having given you a little background on that word, merciful, propitiation, blood atonement. Now, let's read the verse again here, verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. The publican is not merely thinking of mercy in general, but when he says this prayer, he is thinking instead of the blood that was applied to the mercy seat. Friend, the only reason your prayer is going to be heightened is because of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And if we think we're going to have prayers answered because we say, God, I teach the third grade class and I've tithed for 10 years and I thank God I'm not as other men are. And I thank God that my dresses are not like her dresses and my hair length is not like his length. And based upon that, God, now you've got to answer my prayer. If you think that, you are thinking improperly tonight. The reason our prayer will be answered is because we approach God with humility and we approach God based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we have the privilege to enter into the holiest in the first place. Now, here's what he's saying. And just think about this. It's not normal grammar for us, but here's what he's saying. Lord, be propitiated towards me. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, be propitiated toward me. He's saying, Lord, based upon your reconciling blood, based upon what you do through the blood that speaketh, I come to you right now. Be merciful towards me. Watch this. Not because he was worthy, but because the blood of the innocent lamb is a worthy sacrifice. What a great truth that is. Here's what he's saying. Lord, be toward me as thou art when thou lookest toward the blood. Be toward me as thou art when thou lookest toward the blood. Be merciful toward me. God, be toward me what you are when you see the blood of your son. Listen tonight, division leader, Sunday school teacher, new Christian, staff member. Let's be honest tonight. Some of the fleshly thoughts, some of the terrible things, some of the rebellious attitudes that come across even the most active Christians sometimes are wicked and are wrong. And were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ, then we would never have the privilege of communicating with God. He says, God, be toward me what you are when you look toward the blood. Listen to me tonight. When God sees the blood, he doesn't see your sin. When God sees the blood, he doesn't see your past. When God sees the blood, he doesn't desire to give us the judgment that we deserve. When God sees the blood, he sees only his son's love for you and for me. And when this man bowed his head and smote his chest, he said, God, be merciful towards me. God, don't see me, but see the blood that's over me. I'll tell you, that gets me excited tonight, because that's the only reason I can even pray to begin with, because all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. Oftentimes when I pray, I like to just thank God for the blood that was shed, because that's the only reason that we can pray. Thank God when he sees us through that blood. Thank God, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. How are prayers hindered? Prayers are hindered when we think God owes us. How are prayers heightened? When we humbly confess that our only hope is the blood that was shed. Because, friend, God is not pleased with the fact that you knocked on 62 doors last week as much as he is pleased with the blood of his son. Now, is he pleased with our service? Yes, he is. But is that a merit whereby we might expect our prayers to be heightened? No, it's not. He is pleased with his son. Finally, prayer is honored. How is prayer honored? Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And I want you to read this verse with me with that thought in mind. Verse 14. And the words of Jesus say, and let's read them together. Ready, begin. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The publican is justified. God is pleased and honored by what the publican has done. And the Bible says in this verse that he has gone to his house justified. The word justified means he is reckoned as righteous. He was accepted as being right in the sight of God. Now watch this. He himself was not a just man, but God through the blood is just in letting the sinner off. Justification is not God making you just. Justification is when God reckons you righteous because of the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. This man went to his house. This man went to eternity justified because his faith was in the blood of the mercy seat and the blood of the coming Messiah. And the blood of Christ is what declares us to be righteous. And we thank God tonight for our standing in Christ, not because of baptistry water, not because of church membership, not because of good deeds or works for Christ, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39, and by him, Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God would not be righteous letting sinners into heaven, but God can be righteous letting blood-washed sinners into heaven. And that's what justification is all about. It's based on the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the publican, according to verse 14, is justified, and the publican is honored. Notice what it says. It says in verse 14 that he goes to his house justified, but the latter portion of the verse, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted or honored or lifted up. The one who humbled himself is honored. Now, sometimes the biggest form of idolatry that we'll face is ourselves. Well, I think it should be this way. And I think I deserve better than that. And I don't know why he does what he does. And I think that I could teach that guy a thing or two because whatever. And that pride can come in. Now, here the Bible says this man was honored because he was humbled. James 4:10 is in your notes. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Here was a man who was worshiping God from his heart. God says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, I'll lift you up. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Now, true prayer is the expression of our helplessness before God. This publican, he didn't have anything. He couldn't say words like the Pharisee. He didn't memorize the scriptures like the Pharisee. He didn't know everything the Pharisee knew. He simply knew he was a helpless guy, a sinner who was undeserving and who needed the mercy of God. I'm going to tell you something. That's where the Christian life starts, and that's where it should be every day of our lives. With honest humility before God. The spirit of effective prayer is a spirit of humble submission to the Lord. And no one ever showed that pattern in any greater way than Jesus Christ himself when he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I believe God is looking today for people whose prayers he can and will answer. He is looking for people who have the right motivation and the right spirit in their prayer. God is wanting today, and my sincere conviction is that God is wanting today to do a work amongst his people.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Living on God's Economy. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.